Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder of Wavebreak. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores stop leaking revenue with completely done-for-you email marketing. And on this podcast, the Wavebreak podcast, I interview people behind the top Shopify stores, apps, and services, and I get them to share their secrets. If you've been enjoying the podcast so far, subscribe on iTunes, or you can sign up for our podcast email list, which is down in the show notes below, and then I will notify you every single time a brand new episode drops. As always, this episode is brought to you by my company, Wavebreak. We're an e-commerce email marketing agency that works exclusively with Shopify Plus stores. Now, if your email marketing is not on point, you're leaving lots and lots of money on the table. And if you want to learn more about where you're leaving money on the table and get a free email marketing audit, head over to wavebreak.co to learn more about how you can get that free audit and hire an expert to do your email marketing for you. You're going to stress less, you're going to make more money, and you're going to save tons of time. You can go to wavebreak.co to learn more. Link is down in the show notes below. Now, speaking of making more money, one way that's a great way to make more money for your e-commerce business, depending on what you sell, is subscription products. So adding subscription products to your e-commerce business. Maybe you already sell them. But here's the problem. Customers are bound to cancel. And it all could have been prevented. Most of the reasons customers cancel their subscription products are preventable. And there's a lot of ways you can solve it. And today on the show, I've got a great person that we're talking with who's an expert on number one, subscription products, and number two, reducing subscription product churn. And that is Lance Jones from Recharge. And inside today's conversation, we're going to be diving into number one, if you're not already using subscription products, we're going to dive into how to use them to get rid of your slow season. It's a really great strategy that you can apply to your business. I'm super excited about that. And if you're more of an advanced retailer who's already selling subscription e-commerce products, you're likely facing a lot of churn from customers. And it would be fantastic if you could cut down and cut back on that churn. And so we're going to be diving deep into the top reasons why customers cancel their subscription products, as well as no-brainer ways you can decrease the churn of your subscription products. Super simple concepts, not super simple to execute, but once you hear them, it's going to blow your mind. All you got to do to learn more is to listen now. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Lance.
Hi, Dylan. It's great to be here. Yeah, happy to join you.
So like I said, like today I want to start. So today's topic is obviously e-commerce subscription products. And specifically, I want to dive into how to prevent and decrease churn. But before we get into that, and before we get into leveraging and kind of like taking subscription products to the next level, I want to talk about the basics. So let's make sure we're, because I want to make sure everybody's on the same page with the basics. So I'm gonna start super simple. Let's introduce yourself. Like, who are you and what do you do and what's Recharge?
Recharge is a Shopify exclusive recurring billing platform. So we power recurring billing for tons and tons of Shopify merchants. We've got an API that gives merchants a ton of flexibility about how they build subscriptions into their stores and how they let their own customers manage their subscriptions. So I do product marketing, which means I'm talking to a lot of merchants, a lot of customers, trying to figure out, you know, what it is that that our target market needs, is looking for, needs help with, or challenged by. And then conveying all of that back to our product team. And then also I'm responsible for communicating out to merchants and our partners, you know, new features, new integrations, making sure that everybody's able to get the most from Recharge as we're building on it. And we're continually doing that.
Sweet. That's awesome. So for the people who might not know, or just so we can clarify here, what are subscription products?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, and I'm glad we're starting at a high level here. I think this will lead nicely into some of the other stuff. I'm excited to talk about like churn. We just did a webinar on it a few weeks ago, and it got a great response. So that's going to be cool. But subscription products, they're products that customers purchase once, and then they're automatically billed for those products on a monthly or a quarterly or an annual basis, it's not a lot different than, say, a magazine or newspaper subscription, except you generally pay annually for those, right? Whereas most of our subscription products I think we see today are billed to customers on a monthly basis. And that's largely because of the higher price point, like relative to magazines or newspapers. Like, customers typically aren't in a position to spend, you know, $400 to $600 per year up front. There's a lot more at stake, you know, than a $30 magazine, annual magazine subscription. So people generally don't want to take that risk. So monthly billing works. And just to expand on that a little bit. So for our business, we're seeing like the average subscription product is around $50 per month. That's kind of the sweet spot.
Okay.
So that when I mentioned that $400 to $600 per year, that's just, you know, too much for most people to pay up front. They don't want to take that risk, so they're happy to pay that on a monthly basis.
Nice. And so, like, obviously this is great because you don't have to start over every month like you do traditionally with e-commerce. So, like, you could have a $200,000 month in September, and then October rolls around and now you're at zero again. But if you have, you know, you're selling this $50 a month recurring product, that recurring revenue keeps building. So that's obviously one benefit. Like, what are some more benefits to subscription products?
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. It starts to look like subscription e-commerce starts to look a lot more like SaaS software, right? Or software as a right. subscription, a SaaS model. Much more stable and predictable revenue stream and cash flow, obviously. So instead of relying on, like you kind of alluded to this, relying on like the seasonality, especially the season that we're coming into typically, and then also relying on promotions to drive growth, you acquire this customer and you get that revenue from them on a recurring basis. That's that $50 a month for as long as they stay with you. So over time, and this is where it sort of bleeds into the software as a subscription model, sort of as a service model, is over time you can calculate like what this thing called this lifetime value of a customer is, right? Which is based on like the average order value and just the number of months that your average customer keeps their subscription in play, right? So if your average customer is spending $50 a month and they stay with you for 8 months, that's a lifetime value of $400. And so once you know that, it's amazing because you can then know how much money you have available to spend to acquire a new customer. So, you know, typically it would be about a third to a half of that $400. But just knowing that lets you make important decisions, you know, for your business and to maintain profitability. A couple of other things too. You've got more opportunities to like efficiently market in an efficient and costly efficient cost wise manner, right, to those customers. Every time you fulfill an order, you can market to them at this very low cost just by including promos in with their orders. You don't have to spend a lot of money on, say, social ads or typical ad platforms marketing to your existing customers, like a lot of businesses have to do with one time when their business is based on one time orders. You get reliable feedback from customers, right? So as they're experiencing your product over a period of months, you can ask them to, you know, give you feedback, to continue to give you feedback, so you know exactly where you should focus your like your optimization efforts in, like the packaging, you know, the unboxing experience, the product itself, of course, what you bundle in with your products. You get feedback on all that over those 8 months, like as an example, right? That typical customer stays with you. Inventory is also an area, right? It's a lot more easy to manage inventory if everything is predictable and recurring. And also, and finally, if you want to sell your business, you want to get acquired, you're going to get a much better multiple of your revenue when you've got a subscription sales business, because like that predictability has a tremendous value to a prospective buyer of your business versus just, again, one-time orders, relying on promotions and seasonality. When it's recurring and when it's predictable and when it's reliable, it's going to look a lot more valuable to those, you know, possible acquirers.
Absolutely. That's so true. And I really like the idea of using subscription products like to kind of like give yourself a little bit of padding in the slow seasons of business. I think that's awesome. And when I think of subscriptions, like I think of companies like Dollar Shave Club, Trunk Club, and things like that. Like, what are some other examples of subscription products that, like, I don't know, that might not be super common, but you see performing really well in your customer base?
Yes, that's a good question. So, I mean, yeah, Dollar Shave Club was a kind of like a elite. Well, they're certainly a leader in terms of marketing a subscription product, right? I mean, it led to a huge viral video campaign on YouTube. It led to their, you know, ultimate acquisition. So that's one that everybody knows. But we're seeing some interesting types of businesses, you know, developing in the subscription space. On the subscription box side, which is only a piece of our business, of our total customer base, we've got, you know, BattleBox, which is like, you know, tactical and survival type gear in a monthly subscription box. There's a subscription box for The Walking Dead, for Game of Thrones. So those kinds of companies that have like large fan bases, you know, make sense, and we're seeing subscriptions coming from them. But then we've got, like, you know, beverage and nutrition products. Like, we've got a bunch of coffee producers and distributors, like Verve Coffee. We've got Soylent, right, which makes the meal, you know, in a container, a drinkable container.
Yeah, the meal replacement drinks.
Yeah, exactly. We've got, you know, there's a beer company in Europe called McKellar. We've got, you know, kitty litter companies, because that's something that runs out. You know, your contacts, contact lenses, of course, from Hubble. Yeah, you mentioned the men's shaving, grooming products. There's also feminine hygiene products and undergarment products. Like, we've got this one customer called Bootay Bag, which is awesome. And their customers, mostly women, just love, you know, getting undergarment products that they can, you know, that they can wear in their mailbox every month. So it just runs the gamut, and we're always a little surprised. Every month there'll be a new player, and it's like, wow, they turned that into a subscription. That's incredible. Like, you know, we did that with the beer company, McKellar. So yeah, lots and lots.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it's really cool to hear about the different types of businesses that do it. So it's not just your typical like Dollar Shave Club box. Like, some of these like are replenishable products, but others, like, do you have to, like, what are the most successful subscription products? And like a kind of follow up to that, like, if I don't sell a replenishable product, can I still get away with a subscription box?
Yeah. I mean, replenishable or consumable products, I think those ones are like such a natural fit, right? Because there's this convenience of not having to reorder products that people are consuming regularly, right? You just kind of put the products on autopilot and you don't have to think about them. So the nature of the business, it fits well with subscriptions, this consumables. But, you know, other ones like subscription boxes where there's really nothing, you know, you would call consumable in there, you know, that tends to be stuff that people are really passionate about. So everybody's got passions, right, or hobbies. And so we do see a lot of companies succeeding in the subscription box space because they're tapping into that passion and they're building their brand. So, I mean, not their challenge is like, not every month it's going to be a hit, right? Like, I think customers are learning that, you know, they might not be blown away every single month, but there's the promise of what's coming next month too, because they're passionate about the thing they're getting, and they're passionate about the brand that they're getting that product from, that you can definitely build a really massive business, you know, tapping into those passions and those hobbies that people have.
Right. And that leads me to the next thing that I want to get into. So let's say I run a Shopify store and it's an established store. We're doing about like $150,000 a month. And I don't know, let's say we're doing, and I'm just making these numbers up, but let's say we're doing like $30,000 a month from subscriptions. But every month we also lose subscribers. And one thing that was interesting that you said is that, like, number one, it depends on the product, right? Like, people are a lot less likely to churn from a consumable or replenishable product. But like, why are these people churning, whether it's a replenishable product or not?
Yeah, I mean, there are some pretty common reasons for churn. You know, we monitor our customer base pretty closely for that. You know, we let our customers, the Shopify merchants, set up a feature that lets them prompt their customers to find out why they're churning, and we get a lot of that data. A lot of that data is made visible to us. So a lot of the reasons are definitely preventable. One of the ones that it shows its face a lot, but it's not one that a lot of people talk about. It's like when you're not being sufficiently communicative about like delivery days, dates, or delays. And especially for the first delivery, I think people want, there's that, the idea of instant gratification. E-commerce brings us really close to that. Fast shipping times that people are getting used to brings us closer to the instant gratification. Like, people just don't want to be surprised in a bad way. So over communicating, I think, is important to avoid that. Like, people, getting frustrated about where's their stuff, especially on that first order. So that's one. People can end up with like too much product. Not everybody's is really good at estimating, how much is product they might go through. So initially, when you get a new customer on a monthly subscription with a replenishable product, people can just end up with too much product, and a lot of people just end up canceling their subscription as a result. And so we're trying to do some things to counter that. And for subscription boxes, the customer can often just lose interest because they're not sufficiently engaged by what's in the box. Like I mentioned that a moment ago, right? It might not be a hit every single month, but I wouldn't, you don't want to miss 2 months in a row because that gives people pause. If somebody wants to like change the variation on a particular product, right? But that Shopify merchant makes it too difficult to make the change, or it's just not an option to change out the color of something or the size, people will churn there. But I think the thing to remember, the thing that's critical is that the perceived value, right, has to stay above that line, which is the cost of the subscription, right? Once the perceived value dips down below that line, people are going to likely churn. Because again, there's a lot of benefits for merchants to offer subscriptions, but the benefits to consumers, I think, are fewer. Like there's all those business benefits I mentioned, but for the consumer, it's about the excitement, say, of a subscription box, or it's the convenience of a replenishable product, right? And if it doesn't have the excitement or the benefit that can be, or the convenience benefit, that's going to cause people to churn. So I think merchants have to pay really close attention to how people are perceiving the value of whatever it is they're selling.
Absolutely. And you mentioned a lot of great points, and I kind of want to dive into each of those a little bit more. So like the first thing you said was not communicating the dates of that like first box or the next box. So like, what are some ways that people like that these brands aren't communicating that they could be communicating better? Like how many, like should we be emailing people, texting them? Like what have you seen work well for communication as far as like the dates of the subscriptions and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, there's apps that we integrate with that'll help with some of this stuff on the email side, on the SMS notifications. I think, it's really hard. You can't choose one and hope that it's going to serve your entire audience. I mean, I think you have to give people options. So you've got obviously on the post checkout, you've got on Shopify, you've got that standard sort of thank you page. That's a really good place to make people aware of what's next, what's going to happen, and when it's supposed to happen. Obviously, communicating by email, that's a no-brainer. You're starting to see some merchants offer as an option, like getting updates on shipping statuses via text, which is pretty helpful, I think. So you said giving people options depending on who they are is a good thing. I don't think you can, especially on that first order, I don't think you can over communicate. And obviously there's going to be things that go wrong, like glitches in shipping or, some aspect of fulfillment. And there are companies we've seen that act slowly, or don't want to openly acknowledge for fear of creating some customer support nightmare, with an email, say apologizing, but really, you can really hurt your brand by not doing that. There's very little chance you can hurt your brand by apologizing sincerely to people when there is a glitch. And I think, you just have to take measures to like staff up for an inevitable wave of support tickets, perhaps. But ultimately, people are appreciative when you do let them know that something's up and how you're handling it. So it's just about being really clear and transparent. And if there's an apology, being sincere, not, you know, we apologize for any inconvenience, you may have experienced. That's kind of like a BS apology, right? Like really apologize for what happened, and be sincere about it. And, you know, ultimately people might, you know, feel that they'd be pissed off for a moment, but then, you know, generally come around. So yeah, over communicating is good.
No, yeah, I completely agree. I think like being direct and honest is like really, I don't know, like so many people are afraid to be direct and honest because like they're afraid they're going to make people mad. But like, I mean, they're going to be more mad if they find out like the wrong way than if you just tell them. And a lot of times,
I think it's better to frustrate people a little bit up front than to let something simmer and get people really pissed off wondering, because people will just draw the wrong conclusions in their head and think that you're just doing something to, you know, you're out to get them as a customer, or you're trying to take their money. And those are horrible things to go through people's minds. So you got to make sure that you put the idea in their mind, right? By telling them the truth about what's going on, and don't let people jump to their own conclusions.
No, you're exactly right. Like if you just let them jump to their own conclusions, you're going to end up with like a ton of one-star Facebook reviews, and it's just, you're going to get obliterated by these people. Whereas if you just like communicated, like a lot of times your customers and clients or whoever, like they just want to be kept in the loop. Like they just want to know what's up and what's going on. And usually it's that simple. It's like, hey, listen, sorry, there's a delay. It's going to get to you this day instead. Sorry about that. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. Give them something in return, or you know, figure it out. Like whatever works for your brand.
Don't be an airline. Don't do the airline approach where when you're sitting in the gate and it's like every 30 minutes, they just push out the delay time by another 30 minutes without telling you what's going on. Right. Don't be that company.
No, definitely don't. But yeah, that's a really great point. I think over communication, like you really can't over communicate, especially in the beginning when you're starting a relationship with somebody like that. And then one thing, like, so speaking of too much stuff, so we talked about like too much communicating. Now I want to talk about too much product. So one thing that you mentioned that I think is like super, like definitely a big thing, is that people can end up with too much product. So like, for example, I know for me, it's like, well, I don't really need to get new, like, I don't know, sometimes I don't need things on a monthly basis, but I need them every quarter or something. So what are some ways that like people can prevent their customers from ending up with too much product without like getting them to churn and cancel completely?
Yeah. That's definitely an issue. One of the things we've noticed that, you know, companies, our customers are doing is letting their customers cancel on their own, right? Without contacting customer support. And by far the majority of merchants that use Recharge are doing that. And for good reason. Because that's what people, they like that ability to do it themselves. It definitely makes them feel more comfortable knowing that they could stop it at any time. Now that's kind of a double-edged sword though, right? Like, so that goodwill you generate by saying, hey, here you can manage or cancel your own subscription, no questions asked, right? The downside is that, well, they can cancel the subscription, no questions asked. So when things come up like this, like too much product, it's awfully easy to just cancel, right? And they'll just be thinking, well, it was easy to cancel, it's easy to start up again, no problem. But that's not what you want as a merchant, right? You want that recurring, predictable revenue. So, understanding why people are churning is obviously, getting data about that is most important. And I think a lot of merchants that are listening will probably end up with that reason in the top of the list at some point, like, you know, I have too much product. And so, you know, what we, what Recharge does is we create this customer portal, which is for our customers, the Shopify merchants. It's a portal for their own customers to manage their subscription. And, you know, one of the things that you can do easily before canceling is like skip an order, or you can set up, you know, change the delivery date so you can just give yourself more time. And of course, this is all configurable by the merchant. But yeah, sometimes just changing the delivery date, like if somebody's going on vacation for 3 weeks, let's say, you know, if you didn't give them that option to delay an order or change the delivery date, they might cancel because they're going on vacation. They'll just pick it up when they get back. But you want them to just keep their commitment by changing that delivery date. Same thing with if it's clear that you just have too much kitty litter, right? Like let them skip an order and reassure them that they're going to continue. They're going to need more kitty litter. It's just that, you know, eventually their cat's going to use up that kitty litter and they'll need more. So it's really about persuading people to stay on with that commitment and maintain that sort of convenience that they're getting. But, you know, here's an option for you to accomplish what you need, which is, you know, let some of that product, let me move through some more of that product before I get a new order, right? So I'm not like buried in bags of kitty litter after a year.
Right. No, I really like that. I think skipping or delaying is super smart because it's definitely worth it to like I don't even want to call it lose a customer, like pause a customer for 4 months if you're going to have them for like a total of 2 years or however long you end up having them. So I really like that strategy. So like what happens if somebody just loses interest because they're not engaged by what's in the box? I know this isn't something that you can probably solve a lot with too much software, but like you said, you don't want to miss 1 month, but then that kind of gives people, they kind of want to see like, ooh, what's in it next month. But you don't want to miss 2 months in a row. Like how can merchants prevent missing 2 months in a row?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Yeah. So much of it has to do with the product, of course, but I think a lot of what you're as a merchant, you're in control of that, to a large extent, but there's other, I guess, psychological principles at work, right? Like, you know, there's the anticipation, right? The anticipation builds, you know, there's this concept called variable reward, which is kind of what makes gambling a thing. You know, you plug in so many coins, you push those buttons on the slot machines, and every once in a while, you'll get a hit, right? You'll actually get a win, and you can't predict when that's going to happen. And so your brain is anticipating that win, and you continue to plug it until you get the, you know, the bells go off or whatever, and you get that dopamine rush. A lot of that same principle is at work with you know, social media platforms, like with notifications and the little red dots that show up in an unexpected way. And then you're like, oh, who liked what I said, or who's responding to my post. So there's that anticipation and that dopamine rush that comes with getting a subscription box in the mail. So, I mean, there's things you can do. Like if you know, if you're getting, asking your customers, you know, what they thought of last month's subscription box and you know, it dipped down, getting a little low. First of all, communicating that you're really going to make sure the next box is going to go over a lot better. You know, little delighters can go a long way. So, like, you know, special little things that come along with the subscription box, like maybe including a free sample of your newest product, giving something for free in addition to their standard box, like just get, you know, trying to pump up the value, that perceived value, a thoughtful handwritten note. Those are, you know, a little bit of effort depending on how many subscribers you have, but they go a really long way. So there's definitely some things that you can do and include in the box and make it feel like, you know, like an experience. Unboxing is something you can continually improve too. So it's not just about the products inside the box, but it's the, how does it feel to open up the box, right? From receiving it, what it looks like, you know, how the flaps open up, what's on the inside flap. Is there a cute little note or something funny there? There's a lot of things you can do to sort of delight people in that unboxing experience. And so if you've got a bit of a dud 1 month, you know, you want to pull out those stops to make sure that you get a hit the following month. Yeah.
No, totally. And I really like the idea of just like simply hyping up the next box too. I mean, obviously you want to deliver on that hype, but like just saying like, hey, listen, like if you really bomb your subscription box 1 month and it's like, hey, listen, Yeah, last month, like, it wasn't the greatest, and we're not going to lie. So that's why this month we're going extra hard. We're making it super awesome. Like, you're not going to want to miss this. And then it's like, ooh, wait, like, what is this? Like, ooh, I'm really excited for this now. So it could actually work in your favor if you bomb 1 month.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it gives you an opportunity, right? But like you said, the key there is delivering on the promise. And, you know, you set a bar high, make sure you are able to clear it, right?
Totally. Now, so you've been sharing a lot of really great value as you've been going through, like, why people are churning, how to prevent them from churning. So now that we know, like, what we're missing out on, like, what is one of the first steps? So, like, there's a lot of information we went over. Like, if we just do, like, one or two things, like, what are the first things that we should do to decrease churn, or, like, on this journey of decreasing churn?
Well, decreasing churn, I mean, yeah, once you've got a subscription product up and running, I think you want to be in a place where you're getting constant feedback. So, you know, if you're brand new to subscriptions, you might want to do a bit of a test with a smaller segment of your existing audience. You know, if you're focusing on one-time product sales right now, but you need a mechanism in place to get that data. So, you know, and some of it is, you know, direct feedback from customers. So getting that qualitative feedback, you know, you can get customers to rate the product or the box or whatever it is you're offering. Also give you kind of open-ended feedback, right? Like, just tell us your thoughts. Following up with customers, even, you know, by email to maybe even hop on a quick call to talk about it and get that feedback and get that voice of customer. On the quantitative side, I mean, you want to have something in place where you're able to collect data about the orders and churn. So, I mean, it's so different. Subscription e-commerce is so different than one time. And like I said, it's a lot closer to software as a service business, where you've got these things like churn and cost of acquiring a customer, lifetime value. And you want to have a tool, some kind of a tool that gives you the analytics so that you can actually measure that stuff like right out of the gate. You don't want to be guessing. And some of this data takes a while to come in, like lifetime value. You're never going to understand that for your subscription product until you have a certain group of customers going through a full lifetime with you. In other words, they start and then they stop using you. But you need some kind of analytics tool set up to let you measure these kind of unique properties of subscription e-commerce, and you need to have a feedback loop about you know, the fulfillment process, you know, getting your customers support in order for subscription products would be another thing I'd highly recommend. Like, you know, we work with an integration partner called Gorgeous, which you know, when you're offering subscription products, you get a lot of new types of ticket requests. Like, how do I change the date, delivery date? And so, you know, if you can have a support tool or a ticket software that ties into the subscription data, you can easily manage those things all from within the customer support tool. And so that's something else that I recommend people get started on right away. And if you're thinking about ordering or adding subscriptions, I mean, you've got to think through, you know, how are your existing products going to work on a subscription basis? Is it something that customers are going to want regularly, or is it something they're going to run out of regularly? You need to figure out how you're going to fulfill recurring orders. Like, it might not require much more than what you're doing now for one-time orders, but there's some nuances, I suspect, in inventory management. So there's definitely some setup. But what we found is, you know, the transition from one-time e-commerce to subscription e-commerce is not that big. It comes down to the products that you're offering, and then, you know, and how you're going to measure how you're doing over time. So those are the keys.
Yeah, that's fantastic advice. A lot to unpack there, but you're so right. Like, you're never just like done. You always have to be learning and improving and collecting that data, and then actively working to make an impact on decreasing that churn. Just super important that you don't just let it sit and give up. So many great things you shared today, Lance. As we wrap up here, where can we go to learn more about you and what you do at Recharge?
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. So, I mean, we have a presence on the Shopify App Store, obviously, like most of the app developers, and so you can do a quick search for Recharge on the App Store and learn more about us in that one place. Also, you can head over to rechargepayments.com, where we've got, you know, case studies and examples of customers and a lot of information about, you know, subscription, like on our blog, which is linked obviously through rechargepayments.com. We've written a lot about the subscription space and, you know, how to succeed, some things you can do to manage churn, like the things we talked about here. So yeah, a lot of resources at our website, obviously.
Awesome. And as always, that'll all be linked up in the show notes down below. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Lance. I really appreciate it. You dropped a lot of great value about subscription products and so much great info about decreasing churn. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to chat with you about this, Dylan. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.